Hey, Laura Ann Lynn, you're listening to Radio Brendo Man.
Welcome to another episode of Radio Brendo Man. I'm Brendan Creasy.
And I'm Phil Vecchio.
And it's Monday, but we're recording the second episode because we recorded the live episode yesterday
at Big Bear or Mountain Room Escapes Big Bear.
Yeah.
Fantastic experience up there.
It was awesome.
Because we talked about it a lot in the last one. But so, any like post thoughts?
I was thinking about, like, I want to do that again.
It's cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to, and then I was thinking about, like, if I made one,
what you would put in there? Okay,
and
so
then I was thinking about, like, Legend of the Hidden Temple.
So, my mom came up with this idea because we were going around finding stuff. Like, I went with her yard sale shopping with her to get some stuff for Matthew's room.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who. She bumped into someone and was talking to him, and they said that they knew someone who was starting one, and they had been going around to different yard sales, and they were trying to go out all these different ones. And Mom came up with this idea that what if this is not really a legitimate business, but it's a pyramid scheme, and the only people who are going to them all are people who are trying to start new ones, and they're going to the other ones to find out about it?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's like, that's their business, thing. Yeah.
I thought you meant if it was some scheme.
Or the yard sale.
A yard sale racket that they're selling.
Big yard sale.
Big yard sale. They're like, oh, yes, escape rooms.
Yeah, sure. Well, if you are having a yard sale, that's a good thing to put on there. Perfect for escape room stuff.
Yeah.
But no, it's good. They're so much fun. Like, it's so easy to get addicted to them.
See, my mom found that, like, looked like an awesome, like, cabinet thing for, like, $5.
No.
She posted it. That was, like, her big find. That was her big find from the 100 mile.
Right, the giant yard sale thing.
She didn't find, I gave her a whole list of video games to look for.
Nothing. She might not have prioritized that as much.
Well, for me, she.
She did, huh? Well,
I'm her special guy.
It was fun shopping for Matthew's stuff because I was able to go to yard sales and, you know, get stuff but not have stuff come back into my house. But I did get one thing.
Yeah, what'd you get?
So this guy's place, and he had all these old records, and I was digging through, and you know I like to buy weird records?
Yeah.
He had a training record for air traffic controllers from like the 50s or 60s, I think, and it that had like an awesome instruction manual inside of like all the different, and it's like all the codes and phrases they're supposed to use.
That's crazy
then.
That that's available, because like couldn't like a terrorist use that?
I don't know. I'm sure it's changed.
The system? Like Die Hard 2 style?
I mean,
and then
yeah,
he like guides the planes and holds them hostage?
But it's also funny that like now, something like that, they would just click online and watch a video or whatever. Like you wouldn't,
you
wouldn't
some point,
mail out a record to them.
But back in the day,
back
mean,
then,
like,
yeah,
that's what you had.
Or so like, I now have that
real cassette.
Yeah. So I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm pretty excited about that. And I got it for 50 cents.
It's a deal.
Yeah.
You know what else is a deal? We got a bunch of reader mail.
Let's do it. Let's start reading
some
mail.
We got a lot of stuff. We got a lot of material to cover in just a little bit of time.
All right. Here we go.
So let's see if we can do this. Somebody we haven't heard from in a while, Joe Cooley.
Yeah, welcome back.
Nice to hear from you. He says, hey, guys. We all know that May the 4th is considered Star Wars Day. Many of us might also recognize November 5th is Back to the Future Day. That's when Doc got the idea for the flux capacitor. April 8th is Rex Manning Day for Empire Records, also my brother's birthday. And I just recently learned that April 26th is Alien Day, a reference to the planet LV-426 where they discovered the aliens. Are there any other movie-themed days out there that I don't know about? No need to mention obvious ones like Halloween or Groundhog Day.
Well, yeah, because that's what I would immediately go to.
Groundhog Day is like my big.
Well, plus Gary Marshall has made a whole career out of making holiday movies now.
Yeah.
What's his next one going to be? Arbor Day?
Last one was Mother's Day. Like, that one just came out.
Did we get a Father's Day?
He was on Mare, and it was pretty great, because, like, he's, I mean, Gary Marshall's been, like, forever.
Done a lot of stuff, yeah.
Done a lot of stuff. He had a lot of great stories.
So, are there any other, like,
Well, one. There's a great horror movie called April Fool's Day.
Okay.
And it's really good. I really liked it. It's got a good twist.
All right.
It's like really cheesy, but, and then there is, I don't know, I'm thinking about other days. I celebrate, I'm really into, like, graduation movies.
Yeah.
So, like, because on the day I graduated, which was, like, I always have to look it up because I always forget. I think it's either June 9th or June 11th.
Okay.
It was the day that Can't Hardly Wait came out. It was also the day I graduated. We were supposed to go to graduation practice that morning, and I skipped graduation practice so I could go see Can't Hardly Wait on the day it came out. So I usually, that's my annual tradition.
Okay.
But then I also usually will watch other graduation movies that take place around that graduation time, you know, like, or just be, like high school movies.
Right,
like,
right.
We'll say anything, because graduation, that's another big one. And then, like, you know, and then, like, I usually segue into, like, John Hughes movies. But, like, the ones... But graduation, that's, like, specific day. Independence Day.
Oh, that's true. I guess those fall all into, the, like, the those obvious fall ones. Into the
obvious ones. I'm trying to think of other Christmas days.
Ones, too.
Like, days, though.
Yeah, like a day that occurs in the movie. I mean, I'm sure there are, but... I feel like I should have prepared for this question more. I feel like I slacked on this.
Yeah, I don't... Groundhog Day.
Like, is there another time travel one, maybe?
Hmm.
I don't know. I'll have to, like, revisit this. It's a good question.
All right, next, he asks, I would also like to request a quick bullet point style timeline of Phil and Brendo. Oh, man.
This could be complicated.
You guys have mentioned living in several different places in the countless stories you've told on the podcast. Big Bear, Biola University, Wisconsin, Harbin, China. But frankly, I sometimes get confused on the order of things. You don't spend a lot of time on it. Just hit the high points. Where you grew up, when and where you moved, college, Smod Castle, when you started podcasting, China, etc. I might be the only weird one that is even interested in this, but maybe it would be helpful to a few others as well.
All right.
Whoa.
Now, an in-depth one would look like a serial killer's wall all charted out with screens and stuff. Oh, yeah.
Like,
it's
crazy. But just a quick thing. Like, okay, so I grew up until I was 18 years old. I grew up in San Diego, California. Phil, you lived all over the place.
Well, right? I did. I mean, I was born in, like, the Pasadena area, lived there for my first 5 years, but then went up to Big Bear, like, when I was in kindergarten. Was up there most of the time, although we did move back down to Pasadena for 1 year in second grade and then back up again. But most of, you know, all the way up through until I graduated high school was in Big Bear.
And your parents still live in
Big Bear? My parents still live up there.
So then you went to Biola.
Then I went to Biola.
So then I...
Followed shortly by you.
Like, next, like, a year later.
Yeah.
I went to Biola.
Yeah.
And then... went to Biola, so this is where things start getting
diverges
crazy
again
for me, because Phil pretty much did the straight, like, went to Biola, stayed to Biola.
Yeah. I was there 3.5 years.
During the next few years, so I went to Biola for 1 year, then I didn't have enough money to go back, so I moved back down to San Diego.
Right.
Where first I was living with my mom, but then I couldn't handle that, so I moved in to my friend's house, which is a palatial estate.
You were like the house watcher sometimes.
Yeah.
Whatever you call it.
But I was like the worst house sitter of all time.
Yeah, house sitter, there you go.
My brother stole their video camera, left their heater on for like two weeks.
Yeah, what were they having you watch again?
And then, like, I ate all their food.
Yeah.
That was to a where good value my for mom them. Had to go to Costco and buy a
restock
bunch
for
of
them.
Food. Oh my gosh, just thinking Brenda. About it makes me very uncomfortable, because I was like, I was horrible. But yeah, so that happened. Then I figured out a way to make it work at Biola.
I
came back for one more semester. All the while, Phil's still at Biola, and we're still best buds, and
Pop Vox still came and, like, visited you.
Yeah, and I would come up, and then I would come up for shows and all that stuff. So that whole time. So basically 2 years. I was 2 full years I was at Biola,
yeah,
pretty much.
Because Biola's, what, like, an hour and a half from where
you
were?
Yeah, so I was, like, down in San Diego.
Yeah.
So, but then in 2000, my mom drops a bomb that she is moving to Wisconsin.
Right.
Because her, both of her sons have now graduated high school. She's tired of Southern California. She doesn't like it in San Diego anymore. She's a Midwest lady. That's where she's from, so she wants to move back there.
Right.
So originally she moves to, Wisconsin. So yeah, she moved back to Wisconsin. And then I'm like, well, that's cool. I'm just gonna I'll stay out here, go to Biola. I was working a summer internship up in Sacramento, and I was, I'll figure it out, And then through the course of the summer, I realized that I'm not gonna be able to figure it out. Biola at first was like, you can't come back because of your grades. Then towards the end of the summer, after I wrote this impassioned letter, they were like, all right, you can come back. And then I was like, oh wait, I can't afford this at all. There's no way this will ever work.
Psych.
And so then I'm like, never mind, you guys. And, give that spot to somebody else.
Right.
And then I, under duress, was because I thought I had no options.
Yeah.
Because the options were work minimum wage jobs and live in either the Lucinda house or your apartment with 12 people.
Yeah.
And just kind of figure things out. Maybe go to Fullerton College.
Yep.
Try to figure out a way to finish. And who knows? I think about what that's like one of the big what ifs.
One of those other trajectories, what that would have looked like.
Because that was like the big, one of the big giant things. Yeah. And so that, like, because my mom was like, there's a lot of pressure. Like, she didn't really, it wasn't her idea for me to go out there, but I don't think she was not stoked when I.
Yeah, yeah. She was happy to have you come home.
So I drove across the country. I spent one last weekend at Biola as you guys were getting ready to start school.
Yeah.
You had moved into your apartment.
Yeah, because my senior year, I lived in an apartment off campus.
So you were.
With many people.
You were, I remember being, I'm like, oh man, this could be, cause I remember even at the very end, you were like, you could live in the living room. It would be like $100. Like you could see this guy, like, cause
we paid, like, we had so many people living there, our rent was about $100 a month.
It was the first, like, I feel, cause like, I don't know, you could probably confirm it, but like, you were very distraught.
I couldn't have Brendo go away. San Diego Brendo, at least, like, we could drive and meet you. You'd come up and stuff like that.
So up until, I remember, then, like, the very end, you were trying to figure out.
You're going
to
be gone. I know. I was like, because I remember, like, talking to the Lucinda guys. And what was the name of the other house where we did the vaudeville place? Like, even those guys, I think there was some overlap there. But anyway. Trying to like figure out a way to make it happen, but you went on.
So I went to Wisconsin and then I lived out, I spent a year living there and working multiple jobs. I worked at a toy store. I worked at a,
video store.
I worked at a grocery store. I worked at an insurance place. Now that was later.
Oh, okay.
It's
hard for me to even follow that line.
And then during that time, you graduated college.
Yeah, I graduated in December of 2000.
And then you started.
I started dating, subbing.
And then you started dating.
Dating Janelle.
I would come back, but I came to visit at least once a year, sometimes more.
Right.
And so we were always still in touch, and I would come and visit, like, sometimes multiple times a year.
Yeah.
And I remember the time I came back, and it feels like I got a big surprise, and like, you guys picked me up at the airport, and you were like, we're dating. And I was like, ugh. And so then, in 2001, I enrolled at Central Christian College in Moberly, Missouri.
Right.
So I could get my bachelor's degree and get out of Wisconsin at least and on my own again.
Yeah.
And little did I know that I was throwing myself into a crazy town of like the most uber conservative people I've ever experienced in my life, and also,
and you got like a good like scholarship or whatever, right?
Well, it was there was free tuition paid,
right.
Like it was, yeah.
So that helped.
Well, that was, and they also took most of my Biola credits,
right?
And I could still get a degree in the field that I wanted at the time,
yeah.
And so, thus began my 3 years at that's central in Missouri.
Yep.
And meanwhile, you were a sub, and then you, and then my, was it my senior year? No, junior year. So that would have been 2003. You and Janelle got married. I flew out for it.
Yep.
But didn't quite get to see stay.
Part of it.
I went to we told at that, your wedding. Yeah. Yeah, we told that story. But so I mean, I was again still around, still.
Yeah. So I at that time moved out of the apartment with all the guys, and then Janelle and I obviously moved in and got married. We lived at that time. We lived in the servants' quarters of a mansion.
Yeah.
Like a huge mansion. We actually just drove by it the other day when we went out to the Scholastic book sale. Like we drove by there because anyway. And it's still there. It's crazy. So there's this huge mansion up in the La Habra Heights.
There's a lot of big.
Like big time. And they had like servants quarters and they rented it out like an apartment, separate entrance and everything. And it basically was a little one bedroom, one bath apartment. So that was where we lived for the first 3 years. So like till 2000. No, like two and a half years. So
05,
till like the end of 05.
Yeah. Okay. I think like December of 05. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So
meanwhile,
Wisconsin. I graduate with my Bachelor of Arts from Central in May of 2004, and I then in August of 2004 go to Harbin, China.
Yes.
To teach English.
Now, if I was emotional about you going to Missouri, like that was like.
It was a very, because again, I went back, came and visited everybody that summer multiple times.
Uh-huh. And I was like, I mean, I was excited for you. It was one of those like torn between like, of course I want to be supportive and be like, dude, you're going to China.
Yeah. And at the time I was like, I'm not coming back.
Yeah. Like, you told me you're going to like live there forever.
Permanent thing.
I'm like, no.
Because Phil had assumed that as soon as I graduated college...
Yeah, that you're coming back to California. Back.
And that had been the original plan.
Yeah.
But then I got sidetracked because, again, I tend to do things, I don't know, not like sporadic, I don't know, spontaneously, but I do sometimes take these giant leaps.
Which is cool. I mean, and to your credit, like that's a big... I don't know, what do you call it? Leap of faith or whatever. That's, yeah. You know, I mean, just to go off to China and you know, you learned some of the language before you went, obviously, but yeah. I mean, not it's not like lot. You had like, you know, been there before yeah. or anything. Like you just.
So then I was living in China and you were married and subbing and.
Yeah. We still, so we lived at that mansion place for 2.5 years.
And then you started working at,
Well, first I worked at the little tiny Lutheran church.
Oh yeah.
At St. Luke's doing like the youth group and music. Then I got hired over with Rachel, Josh Anderson's, well now wife, not at the time. We're doing the junior high group there. And meanwhile, as that happened, we moved to, our little house.
Not yet.
It was in 2005.
Not till I got back. I wasn't, cause I helped
you. Well, that's true. Cause you helped. So yeah. The big epic move that we've talked about, like the one that almost killed both of us, was moving out of those servants' quarters into this other house.
But that happened in 2005. Right. So In March of 2005, I left China. It's a long story. I'm sure I've told parts of it. I had a breakdown.
Yeah.
As you could say, panic attacks. Problems, ended up coming back here, and first I was staying in Fresno, and then I stayed with Mike for like a couple months.
Right.
Mike and Shelby in Temecula, but I came and visited because I remember I came to visit, and that was when like you were working at Seacoast.
Yeah.
And like there was an actual group of people.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then you were like, dude, this is good. This will be perfect for you. You should come back, make it work out here. And so I did.
Yeah.
And, for a while, like I worked, like first I worked a temp job for a couple weeks.
Uh-huh.
And I was living in people's.
You were like couch surfing. You stayed at our house for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But then you landed longer at,
And then I was at John and Grace's a while. And then once I got a steady job, I then lived in a series of apartments.
Right, right.
Started my apartment journey. But, yeah, so I got back, and then Janelle helped get me a job at Disneyland.
Yeah, because she had been working there.
And then that began our, I guess, both of our lives in Orange County, just normal.
So for us, we then in 2005 moved to this house. It was over on Del Amo. And it was like, so we just liked living in weird places, I guess, because this one.
It was like a farm.
It was a farm in the middle of the city. It was in, it wasn't Long Beach. What is that little town there in between? I can't think of what the name of the town is. Anyway, Lakewood. It was actually in Lakewood. So in the middle of this big city, but there's a huge, like, I don't know. What is that, like 10 acres or something there?
And now it's gone.
It's gone now. They finally sold it off and made apartments on it or whatever. But
that lady was nuts. We lived there for one month.
The crazy lady, we lived there for a month and a half.
Yeah.
Because, like, she just, well, you helped us move into that one and then also right back out of it. But, like, when we were moving in, I remember Brendan was, like, carrying a box. And she, like, hung around and hovered over us as we're moving in. We're paying rent at this place. Like, this is our place at this point.
Yeah.
And she, like, yelled at Brendan because he was walking too hard on the carpet.
And then I put a box down.
And then you set the box down. Everyone's stomping around. And I'm like, we're moving boxes in here, you know? And she just, she would, like, sneak into our house when we weren't there and look through our stuff. And then write us letters about, like, you can't have boxes in this closet.
She was inside your house. Yeah. It's like, that's illegal.
Oh, totally illegal. She would wait until we weren't there and then come in and look through our stuff.
Because you were like, I remember you told me she was like, she did this and I'm like, wait a minute. Like, she'd have to have come inside and you're like, oh crap.
Yeah, but she's been in there. Cause she was talking about stuff we had in the front closet. And I'm like, you're like, how did she know that was, I don't know. She must have come in. So anyway, needless to say, we got out of that situation right away. That was such a cool place. Cause it was on this old horse ranch.
Yeah.
The house was really cool, but then behind it had all these outbuildings that we were going to turn into like a venue, remember?
We had big plans. We had like a studio or into
a recording. Yeah, we did like one of them a studio and then have like shows out there because it was a huge area.
I mean, it's like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. And yet right in the middle of the city.
We could have done whatever we wanted out there.
We did have one of the most epic movie nights there though because it was such a creepy place at night.
The Grudge night.
And then you had to like walk back to your car.
I had to go lock down the church.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And I was like running through the office building.
That's right.
I was terrified and I wouldn't go in the elevator.
Yeah, so then we moved to another apartment and had a couple of apartments in Orange County. Meanwhile,
this is a string of, and then me trying to make things work at Disneyland, but working a string of random jobs on top of Disneyland.
How long were you at Disneyland?
Like a little over a year.
Okay.
But I became a lead and I thought that was gonna work my way up the chain. Meanwhile, I'm still working like random jobs. Like, I was a security guard at a church. I worked at a shady, like, the shadiest eBay store ever.
That's right.
Where I was like, I don't understand how this business even works.
Is that even a thing anymore?
I don't know. But it was the shadiest thing in the world.
You did pick up some good tips about eBay, though.
Yeah.
I remember you helping me sell some stuff back then.
I learned a lot of tricks.
Yeah.
So, that was, and also just this nomad life. I moved around a lot, stayed in people's couches a lot, because I couldn't really afford to have, like, I mean, I got, once I got lead status and I had regular, then I got an apartment, but I was living with like three people, and then that was just like, we gotta,
fast forward,
and this is just, then you guys had a kid,
and then we moved out,
moved to Yucaipa.
Well, in between we had our 9 month stretch of like our homeless living in hotels. I think we've talked about that some. Then we bought our house in Yucaipa, and we've been there ever since.
And then, like, if you've been listening to the show, you know about this because it's been happening while you've been on the show,
right? So,
and then I've moved from Orange County down to San Diego, then to Yucaipa.
And that's present day.
And that's now.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a few things in between, but that's pretty good for us.
But I've lived in a ton of places.
Yes.
Because I move around a lot.
We've moved quite a bit, but not quite as many places as you have.
I've moved so much. But that's, I guess that's your timeline.
So there you go. Hopefully that helps. Hopefully that's interesting.
I've been back here in California for 11 years.
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
Because you at one point thought you were going to live in China for the rest of your life.
I know.
I thought you were going to. By the way, if you guys want to hear, like, the greatest pun that I've ever told, you have to listen to the pre-show on YouTube.
You hear me?
I literally made Brendan cry tears laughing. So like, I could see the tear.
To watch the pre-show.
You really should. Tonight's pre-show.
Because it was the most random, stupid pun. Like, so stupid. And it was just like, you, like, knew what you did. Yep. And that, like, added to it. Like, yep. Where I just, like... Oh my gosh.
But I can't retell it because the magic moment. Like, no, you have to hear no the original timing. Because
it's so stupid.
It is great though, so you should definitely listen to that. All right, back to Joe.
All right. Finally, you guys were recently talking about feeling uncomfortable at friends' houses when you were kids, and it reminded me of my own experience. When I was about 11 or 12, I had this neighbor kid move into a house on the street behind me. Our backyards connected. We met and started hanging out a lot. We would always hang out and play at my house. We would play video games. His favorite was Mortal Kombat on Sega Genesis because we could use the blood code and watch movies like Indiana Jones and Ghostbusters, etc. Eventually, I was invited to spend the night at his house, and I quickly understood why he always wanted to play at my house. I don't know what denomination they were, but this family was very Christian and very strict about it. The only video games he had were the knockoff Christian Nintendo games. The only music he had was Christian music, Christian books, Christian board games, etc. Don't get me wrong, I'm not anti-Christian. I was raised Catholic and I'm still a Christian to this day, but I guess my family just wasn't very strict about it, and this was my first experience with this kind of thing, and it kind of weirded me out. But the final straw was the next morning. It was Saturday, which to me meant only one thing, the X-Men cartoon on Fox. I was all pumped up to watch that, but he said we weren't allowed to watch it because his parents said the X-Men's mutant powers came from the devil.
Which actually, the name mutant kind of spells out not devil, but genetics. I just want to point out there. Oh, that's what he says right here. Never mind.
I tried to explain to him that obviously their powers came from a genetic mutation and not from the devil, but that didn't work.
We're on the same wavelength there.
I finally tried to get religious on them and asked how did they know that it was the devil and not God that gave the X-Men their powers, because I was always told that God was more powerful than the devil. And that didn't work either.
That's a good effort though. I like that.
Needless to say, I didn't spend much time at this house after that. But he would still come to my house to play sinful video games and watch sinful cartoons without his parents' knowledge. Keep up the great work and let the cookies cool.
Yeah.
Joe.
That's a great story. I have to clarify a couple things though. Some of those knockoff Christian video games I had some good times with.
Oh but yeah.
The difference was that in my family, my parents weren't like, oh no, you can't. My brothers and I were like, ooh, that's interesting. We could buy something that has this, you know. I listened to a lot of, you know, again, music that would be in the Christian realm, but not the kinds of things, you know, probably that would be obnoxious. You know, we've talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, like you said, those things aren't necessarily inherently bad, but that the strict nature of like, no, this, and this, and I can, that's weird. And I had, even as someone who, again, grew up like in the church, I had friends whose parents were like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh no, you like this though. Like, that's bad. Never had the X-Men, though. That's pretty funny. The Devil X-Men?
No, that's like those books, like The Devil in the Toy Box.
Oh,
and
yeah.
All this stuff. Like,
I have like a weird collection of books like that because I'm just fascinated.
Yeah, yeah, I had a friend. My friend Henry collected them, too, and like he just thought they were hilarious.
Yeah.
And also it had like awesome pictures of all these 80s yeah. toys.
If anything, like the kids would be like, yeah, I want that. Oh, yeah. That looks cool. He-Man.
Yeah.
He looks great.
Okay, all so right. Anonymous from Canada. You got a couple from him.
Yep.
So this is the first one. What was the awkward thing that happened to Janelle's graduation party that made you leave? Oh, it was Janelle's parents started fighting.
Yep. And one side of her parents' family is known for imbibing excessively. Yeah. So
things were out of control.
It was escalating, and we were like,
so we were like, we got to go to a show right now. And then we're like, oh, it shouldn't start till 2 hours. I was like, Phil doesn't start for charge. Like, no,
we're going to get to that show.
Go right now.
Yeah. See, now, I mean, that's the last time. I mean, besides our wedding, that's the last time that those parties get together. So it doesn't happen much anymore. But I guess when our kids were born. But they were cool at those times. You know, there wasn't any major conflict. But at the graduation, it started to get a little heated.
Things escalated a little bit.
Yeah.
And, so. Like, Janelle's grandma.
Yeah. So that was it.
And then any other awkward party stories?
don't think so. I mean, my parties, like my bachelor party, we watch movies and play video games, so I'm not like a partier, really. That's my kind of party.
I don't really have any awkward party stories. I mean, I have the embarrassing story of that I've told a few times, my sixth grade birthday party where nobody came.
We have the Jonathan Matlock's bachelor party when you almost died on the flip-flop.
I almost flip-flopped to death, and Matt Moss ran into a sliding door.
Yeah, the window thing. Door.
Oh my gosh.
But that, I mean, you know, that wasn't so bad.
I have like an embarrassing one. Like,
okay.
It's bad though.
All right, well. The question was asked.
I was 18 and thought I was awesome. And we had like this, it was our first, like my classes, like first, like we're all in college and we're back home. We're gonna have a big party. And it was like New Year's.
Uh-huh.
And it was horrible. Like I was beyond a mess. Like I don't know, it was just really bad. And I was the only thing I know is like people told me things about like things that I did. I may have like I kissed my friend's girlfriend. Like, yeah, it was bad. It was
all right,
real bad.
So you learned a good lesson that.
Yeah. Time. Oh, yeah. That like turned me. I didn't drink for like 3 years after that.
Okay, I have a party lesson that I learned too. I don't think I told this one on here before, maybe. But my freshman year at Biola, and I was super excited about like music and stuff. You know, I was already booking shows in Big Bear, and I was stoked because people down here are into bands and stuff. And I was a freshman, but I got invited by some upperclassmen to go to this house party where a local band was playing. And it was this band called Vinegar Joe had a house.
I think I know.
They had a house, and they would have host bands every weekend. Yeah. And it was free, but you know, you had to be invited.
I went to a couple of those.
So this is like my first week of school and I wanted to be cool. And for whatever reason, like one of my dumb things and I did this in high school some too, but like I would do like lots of stupid stuff on a dare. Like I would eat anything gross on a dare, especially for money, you know, like if someone would dare me to eat something gross and they'd pay me $5, I'd do it. And I have many stories about that. But this particular night I went there, these upperclassmen are there with me. And so the band's playing in like a living room and everyone's sitting like cross-legged, you know, watching them. And so there's, you know, probably about 5 feet from the first person in the front of the band. And then there's a sliding glass door open to the patio. And that's where I was standing with the people that invited me out on this patio. And these guys got it in their heads. And I think Jeff Edwards might have been amongst them. And said, like, dude, we'll give you $5 if you go in there, like, right in their faces and just start dancing right in front of the band. Because everyone's, like, sitting quietly. And they were kind of rocking, so, you know, whatever. And I'm like, sure, dude, $5. Upperclassmen, dare me to do it. I'll do it. So, like, I go in there, and I, like, got right in front of them, like, a foot away and just started, like, doing a silly dance. And all these people behind me are, like, leaning around, like, they're just giving me the stink eye. And about 10 seconds in, I realized, like, oh, my gosh, what am I doing right now? But they said I had to dance the entire rest of the song or I didn't get my $5. So I did it for the entire song. The band was trying to be cool, but they were giving me weird looks. Everyone in the crowd was, like, leaning around me and, like, staring me down. And my face was probably bright red because I was super embarrassed. And then I walked back out on the patio, like, with my head hung low. And they're like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you did that. And I'm like, oh, give me my $5. And I'm like, we don't even have $5.
Oh, my God.
And Janelle got mad at them because Janelle was amongst them.
I'm surprised you didn't start, like, you. No, that's, like, the one thing.
Well, she saved the day because she got mad at them and said, you promised him $5. And she wound up giving me the $5 so that I at least got $5 out of it. And from that day forward, I was a little more careful about what dares I took. I mostly limited it to eating gross stuff. Later on, I changed that, but because I had some incidents of that as well. But that was a party that I definitely had an embarrassing story at. There you go.
That was pretty good.
I had.
All right. Mark Bolton writes, hey, Phil and Brendo, Mark Bolton here again. Good to hear from Craig from the Rez again.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Glad to hear your new job is going well. Brendo, I'm looking for a new job, and based on your good luck, I looked into some school district jobs.
Yeah, Janelle's going to be so proud that she started this.
Get on that train. Janelle Edge is kind of like the path setter when it comes to careers.
Yeah.
Like Disneyland.
Yeah, that's true.
All this other stuff.
That's right. Well, and she got like the temping stuff. Like she got me into some temp jobs, subbing, yeah, et cetera.
All right, Phil, we need some more orchard updates. We're expanding our garden for more veggies.
Ooh, what are you going to plant? I'm curious.
How's it going?
Let's see. It's going well.
Fighting the good fight.
Well, yeah. So it's been interesting because, as you know, California, we've had like a massive drought going on. And so everyone had to cut back water, including me in the orchard. And, you know, and I did. I mean, I did my part. But, you know, we kept it watered enough so that everything wouldn't die off. But, you know, I definitely cut it back. So we're going to have a really low fruit production year. We're going to have stuff. But for a lot of the trees look like it's going to be a slim pickings, except the persimmons, which we're going to have a bumper crop of.
Ugh.
So hooray for that, right? But we're keeping it going and, you know, kind of up in the watering a little bit now as we're getting into summer. Just enough to, again, you know, maintain but still be responsible. And this is watering not like a lawn, but watering the fruit-producing trees and stuff, you know. So it's, you know, it's cool. Mm-hmm. Right now, we still have some oranges on the tree. And that's really about all that's ripe right now. But coming soon is going to be apricots and nectarines. We've got figs and plums almost around the corner as well. So, and some peaches probably will be after that. And then the strawberries, we almost lost our strawberry plants. We got a couple of them off there, and it just got too dry.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to up the drip system a little bit. Now the strawberries are back, so.
Saved it.
It's good. Ooh, and this, I mean, you probably remember my grandpa died back, a little while ago. And he's the one that, you know, inspired the whole orchard in the first place. He had the orchard for me, you know, all my years growing up. He had orange trees and figs and blah, blah, blah. And his big thing that he has that we still haven't gotten to grow out here is he had huge avocado trees.
Avocado.
Best avocados in the world. You've never had an avocado until you've had, like, one right from the tree.
They are.
And he had the best.
Insane.
So.
It's the secret to Janelle's guacamole.
It is. Well, and here's in addition to losing him, the siblings are selling the house off. And they just sold it this week.
No.
So no more avocados. So I got the last batch of them, and I've been growing the avocados right now they're in my windowsill.
Doesn't it take like a long time?
It takes a long time. So, but I've got one, I don't know, it's about, 8 inches, 10 inches tall right now, grown in my windowsill. I have 3 going, but I think only one is gonna probably last. So we'll see. I'm trying to keep that avocado alive. Plus he had all these great figs, but my uncle got some of the fig clippings, so hopefully he can keep those going. But yeah, that house is gone. Crazy.
Man.
So I don't know, there's a brief orchard update. Tell us what you're planting there.
How long did it take them to like get all this, or what did they do with all the stuff?
Oh, they spent, I mean, ever since he died, they've been, you know, trading it off, you know. Actually, Matthew got a lot of good stuff for the escape room from there.
Yeah.
But you know, everyone.
They had like a whole barn full of stuff.
Oh, we did. And, there's some family stories that I won't tell on the show, but as it goes with that kind of thing, there's all kinds of interesting things. Mm. They sold off a lot of it, and then everyone kind of took what they wanted, you know, if there's things they wanted to keep. Janelle got a gavel.
Nice.
For what she uses, because she does like a mock trial every year, okay. And she just always had them use a pencil or something, so.
I could just see Janelle in class all the time.
Oh, like, yeah, she loves it. So, anyway, that's the orchard talk.
Scare the crap out of those kids. All right,
Brendo. She doesn't need a gavel to do that.
Brendo, what unmovied or TV'd Stephen King story would you like to see made into a movie or TV show? I would love to see a TV movie of The Long Walk, like on a channel like HBO. That's my favorite Stephen King book. I would not be surprised if that happens based on the like whole Hunger Games, Battle Royale, all that craze.
Oh, yeah.
Because The Long Walk... It's like, it's about like, it takes place in the future where there's like this, it's like this contest where you just have to walk. And if you fall like behind, they like shoot you. And then like the last person.
You allowed to run?
Wins. You're walking. You just walk forever until there's only one person left.
So it's whoever's in last place though?
Well, if you fall, you have to, like, it's if you fall back, like, a certain, and it's not just whoever's in last place gets shot, it's like if you fall behind a certain point.
Okay.
Like, and it's just, they walk until there's only one person left able to walk.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, creepy, but cool.
Yeah.
All right.
And there's a whole big conspiracy behind it and everything. Huh. It's really good. He wrote it. It's one of the Bachman books. He wrote under a pseudonym, George Bachman.
Oh, Michelle. Oh, okay.
Michelle. did you know that about George? Yeah, Stephen King basically, as an experiment, he took these books that he had gotten, that he wrote when he was in college.
Okay.
That had gotten rejected by publishers. And this was like after he was, it's like in the early 80s.
Right.
And he published them as Richard Bachman. It's like a pseudonym that he came up with. And he published four of them and nobody, and they were like straight, like pulp paperbacks.
Right.
Didn't sell like hardly anything. And like nobody knew for like, so like for the first few years, like he released four books and then the one, and then he released Thinner, which there was a movie.
Right.
And as a Bachman book, and a bunch of people were like, this feels like a Stephen King novel. And also, like, it like sold a ton. And then finally some journalist, like an investigative journalist, did like crazy research to where they traced it. They went to like the Library of Congress. Huh. They got a P.O. box. They staked out like who went to the P.O. box. And it was this crazy thing where then he like, somebody found out and they let him know like, hey, we know it will give you a chance to announce it yourself before we publish it. So then Stephen King's like, yes, I am Richard Bachman. So
then those books all sold to 10, right?
And then they released, because they were out of print at that point.
Oh man.
And so then the publisher was like, all right. And they released it as the Bachman books.
Huh.
Like an omnibus.
That's cool.
And yeah, and then they sold a ton. And then he's resurrected Bachman a couple times.
Nice. But now everyone knows who it is.
Yes. Okay. But I just thought that was cool because he totally pulled it off for like quite a while.
That's awesome.
But yeah, mine would be, that's a great question, Mark. And mine, I used to always say The Mist, and then Frank Darabont made it and it was great. I still have an idea that I've had since I was a teenager.
Okay.
For a Mist, The Mist, The Ride. So you've seen The Mist, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you know, like, it takes place in the supermarket. So my ride, it would be this whole experience where the queue is in the supermarket. So you start off in the supermarket, and then you have to go out into the mist.
To go on the ride.
And then you go out and get on the ride. Meanwhile, there's, like, animatronic things attacking you and stuff's happening.
That's cool.
Maybe, like, actors. And then you get into, like, maybe, like, a military vehicle or just, like, you're going to have to escape. And then that's, like, the ride part. And there's, like, giant stuff and the arm, like, all kinds of crazy.
That'd be a good
and
ride.
That'd be, like, an awesome ride. And I always thought about that. Because I remember I first thought about it because there was this if you're driving down in La Costa, there's the Batiquitos Lagoon, and it's like, and I remember at night, there was always like fog, and it was this big curvy road, and I remember I the first time I read The Mist, and then we're driving that at night, and it's foggy, and we're driving kind of fast, and I'm like, ooh, escape from the mist. Like, what if this was a ride? And that's like how nerdy my like 12-year-old brain,
yeah,
I'm thinking
but I don't
about
ride
Stephen
that.
King book rides. So now I would say, story would be the actual Hearts in Atlantis story of Hearts in Atlantis.
Okay.
Cause the movie was actually that story that the movie was the first novella.
The book, yeah.
And it was actually called Low Men in Yellow Coats. The actual Hearts in Atlantis story, it's the ultimate college story. Like it depicts the college experience, even though it takes place during the Vietnam War era, it's like this timeless, I was like, oh my gosh, like this captures like your first year at college and that like, you know, both carefree, but also the intense pressure of like being on your own, having to figure stuff out for yourself and nobody's forcing you to go to class. And now, cause you know, I don't know if you ever had a point in your college career where you just, at some point, either almost hit the bottom or came close, like started teetering a little bit, just because. I mean, you always.
I walked the line,
but everybody has this moment where you're like, "Oh crap!" Like your "oh crap" moment, and some people are able to survive those. But just that whole experience of like you're on college. There's nobody telling you, "Hey, get up, go to class."
Yep.
Hey, you got to do this, and that can go both good and bad.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, this book just captured it so well and it's beautiful and I would love to see that.
What would they call it since the name's been done?
I don't know, because that's the name of it.
And if they called it that, everyone would just think,
come up with something, I don't know, but it's so good. And, and then even the rest of that. And then if a short story of his, because he has so many, there's one from, I think it's in Skeleton Crew. No, maybe Night Shift. The Jaunt.
Okay.
It is about, so you know how they're talking about the Hyperloop? And it's like this like super crazy fast like public transportation thing.
Okay, yeah.
So it's like this, futuristic space travel that's like instant. It's called the Jaunt.
Huh.
And it's about that and something bad happens.
Okay.
And, but it's really good.
When he comes back out, his head's on backwards.
I'm not gonna tell you.
Okay. Alright. That's cool. Alright. What else has Mark got to say here?
Thanks for writing back, Steve Espinoza.
Yeah, pen pals.
I have a few answers to your question of what fictional character I would choose to be. I love comic books, so any superhero would be amazing. But my number one choice would have to be the Atom from DC Comics. His power to shrink down to a subatomic level has always intrigued me. What would it be like to have to look up to a neutrino? I could explore subatomic civilizations, travel on the back of an electron, or ride on Hawkman's shoulder. It would also be cool to be either Alice or Dorothy from Alice in Wonderland and The Wizard of Oz. Being a normal person and discovering unusual fantasy worlds would be rad.
I could see that.
But also be like,
I'd be
scary.
Terrified though, yeah. Cause like,
winged monkeys, man, and yeah, or all the like, crazy Alice in Wonderland.
Like seriously,
stuff.
Especially
Pig
if
baby.
You watch the like Ringo
Jabberwocky.
Star version, like, ugh. I don't know. I mean, I see like the appeal, but also I think I'd be terrified to be in those.
You'd be like, no,
okay, because Return to Oz and the Ringo Starr like Alice in Wonderland, those two right there are enough to ruin me.
Wizard of Oz is pretty. I mean, freaking monkeys and
yeah. But Return stuff. To Oz? Dude, if Return I had to see Mommy, I'm dead.
Wheelies.
Dead.
That rock guy.
Dead.
Forget all that.
Yep. Ugh. Nope, couldn't do that.
Ugh.
But I respect your bravery to do that, though.
And your allies are like a pumpkin head guy and a moose couch.
Or then if you got Pig Baby on the other side.
Freaking Pig Baby.
Pig Baby?
Dude.
I'd be out at that point. I could not handle Pig Baby.
Pig Baby. I just watched a YouTube video of that because I was like, it wasn't that scary that I watched. Oh my God, this is terrifying.
That's one that I actually watched at my Grandpa Vecchio's house. It's one of the things they had on Betamax there.
Oh yeah.
And I remember my uncle being like, oh, this is great. It's got all these great actors.
That was one of the four movies that my grandparents had that we watched constantly, even like, though it was terrifying.
Why would we see this?
Because it does through the looking glass also, and there's all this even more weird stuff.
Yeah.
And then, like, the freaking Jabberwocky and...
Yeah.
Ugh. It's nuts.
So you're brave. That's respectable.
Now I have the lion and the unicorn. All right.
Your other question.
Your other question was, who is the most famous person I've ever met? That would probably be Maria Bamford, the stand-up comedian. She played the Jukebox Comedy Club in Peoria, Illinois.
That's cool.
She was really nice, and my wife got a picture with her. I also met Brian Posehn and Jimmy J.J. Walker at the comedy club.
Nice.
Could I even
sounds
say
like a good club.
Sounds like it was dynamite.
Yeah.
I also met David Sedaris and Sarah Vowell of This American Life fame at their book readings. That's awesome.
Nice.
David Sedaris was allergic to my wife's perfume. If you're into comic books, I met a good amount of comic creators at comic conventions, including Greg Rucka, Mark Waid, Chris Claremont, Jeff Loeb, Ed McGuinness, and Alex Ross.
Even I know some of those names.
Anyway, this email's long enough as it is. Great show, and you guys are great. Mark Bolton, # let the cookies cool, # pizza toots.
Pizza toots. Yes. All right. Ready for a new, we're going to see the Angry Birds at some point here, and I just be ready for eagle pee jokes.
Okay.
Today, we watched America's Funniest Home Videos. And there was one where, like, these two girls were doing something, and she falls over and then toots right at the camera. And the kid's like, can we watch it again? Please let us watch it again. So, yeah. It's, you know, keeping it alive. Pizza toots are real. All
right. Here's another one from Anonymous from Canada.
Okay.
He says, I've never heard Canadian bacon called Canadian bacon in Canada. It's called back bacon, pea meal bacon, or ham. Hawaiian pizza is ordered by asking for ham and pineapple. Sorry for breaking hearts.
Oh, no hearts broken. But it does make me curious, like, where did that come from?
We, us being dumb?
I guess so.
That's Brendo, I wanted to make you jealous. Guess who my junior high wrestling coach was? One of the Hart brothers. What? Ah, oh, it's probably Ross or Smith.
Jimmy?
Smith Hart is kind of nuts. Well, it could have been, like, Bruce. There's, like, a ton of them. It's probably Bruce. He seems like an amateur. They're all, I don't know. One of the Hart brothers. I don't know his first name, as he was Coach Hart, but he was crazy about teaching and perfecting fundamentals. It's because his dad was, that's what his dad did.
They had a lot of deep conversations, didn't they?
Yeah, it was from heart to heart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got you there.
Yeah, you got to jump on me.
I only know about four wrestling moves, but was number two in the city in my weight class. And it's all because of Coach Hart and being in a nice weight class.
Nice.
That's awesome. I can't believe you were in band with Switchfoot. Well, with Tim.
Not all of Switchfoot.
Switchfoot. Well, and John was, like, he was older, but he came on some of our trips in high school, like our, some of our high school trips.
Right.
But yeah, I was. He played saxophone. He taught me a lot. He was the lead saxophone.
That's how you got into Scooby-Doo Snack Pack.
Yeah. Best concert I've ever been to was their Hello Hurricane tour. It's cool.
I have a little connection to Switchfoot too.
Yeah.
Well, because currently, Jerome. Not the original, but Jerome, who does like keys and programming and stuff, he was in a band called...
And all their awesome guitar riffs.
Well, yeah, he does a lot of stuff. Basically, when they did the Switch, when they did, what's that name, the album that has...
Meant to Live.
Meant to Live and...
No, New Way to Be Human was the one before that.
Yeah, it's the one after that. There's a major shift in tone.
Well, that production. That is all. That's 100% Jerome.
If you listen to their band. In fact, if you like Switchfoot a lot, look up a band called Fold Xandura.
Yeah.
There's stuff out there on, you know, wherever. Fold, F-O-L-D, Xandura. That's Jerome from Switchfoot. That's his band before that. And you will hear, like, oh, this is where Switchfoot got that sound. That's why it changed. Their album was Ultra Forever. That's probably the best example of it. It's fantastic.
I listen to it all the time.
So if you like that. And so anyway, I booked tons of shows with those guys when I was booking shows with Viola. And purchased
their PA.
And right, when they were ready to, they were moving on to other stuff, they had a touring PA, and I bought the trailer and PA from them, and I still have that to this day. Well, I sold the trailer, but I have the PA still in my garage. And I use a lot of the equipment from them, so I still have. And their band before that was called Mortal, and I still even have stuff that has like Mortal printed, like screen printed on it.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. And then the other guy who joined the band even after him is named Andrew Shirley, who you know, you'll probably, if you're a Switchfoot fan, you know who he is. He was in a band before that called Altogether Separate, who before that was called Praise House, and they were the house band at Pine Summit. Where I was, that was my first job running sound, was a camp called Pine Summit, and they were the house band, and I worked for a whole summer with them, and I was their sound guy, and then he went on to go to the next band, and then finally Switchfoot. So I know two of the guys, who would know me by name when I bumped into them. Saw them at Disneyland while I worked there, and like was able to talk to them, and they both remember me, so.
And I'm still pretty sure we saw Gyro at the Halloween thing.
No, it was Jerome. I think it was Jerome.
Oh, you think so?
That's who I thought.
Oh, no, it was Jerome.
Yeah. Who's the one from Switchfoot?
Yeah.
I don't know. If not, it was a doppelganger. It was close enough that I almost said something, but then I didn't. So anyway.
But I haven't seen Tim since eighth grade.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen those guys since,
you know, I did post a message on the Switchfoot message board, and he replied to me.
That's cool.
But
that probably doesn't exist anymore.
No.
Message board.
Message board. What? All right. Any good stories from band tours, band camps? I never did tour or camp. We didn't have band camp. Our band, we were already, this was like right before like the music programs in most California public schools got cut completely. Right. So we were already like, he could only come every other day. Because he was going around all the other schools, and so we didn't have band camp or anything. I never got to do marching, because like marching band got to go to like Disneyland and all that stuff, and I never got to that point.
Right.
So I was super bummed, because my friend Tim got to go to Disneyland, and they actually got to go on Indiana Jones before it opened.
That's cool.
And I remember he like
soft open
told me about it, and I was so ticked off.
I have one story from band.
Yeah.
So sixth grade, and I decided I wanted to join the band. I wanted to play saxophone. And so, you know, I had to, like, you know, get permission ahead of time to, like, you leave class because it was during the middle school day. So I leave class and walk over to the band room, and everyone's, like, getting their instruments out. And I'm like, and then the band teacher comes up, and he's like, oh, where's your – you signed up for saxophone. Where's saxophone? I was like, we had to bring one? He's like, oh, yeah. Like, everyone's been working on it, like, practicing at home, and you're supposed to bring your own instrument. And everyone's, like, warming up, and I didn't even know how to, like, blow in the thing. I'm like – oh, I don't have that. And he's like, well, why don't you go back to class and come back when you have it? And I never came back. And that's how I, that's my experience with band. So then I just learned how to play guitar and started my own band.
Why didn't you just get a saxophone?
Cause everyone like already was like playing stuff. Like they had gotten them over the summer and were practicing them and stuff, knew how to make sound out of it. And I was like, I have no idea. And they didn't, and I was embarrassed. Everyone's in there and they're like, oh, just come back later when you have one.
I'm not even joking. I was so freaked out. I didn't think I was going to be able to, I didn't know what I was doing, but had you ever done recorder?
Yeah.
If you can do recorder, you could, cause I started like immediately, like I could figure it. It was like.
I'm sure I could have, but at the time, this was like in the depth of Phil being like shy and like not in the cool crowd. And these kids probably were chuckling at me. At least in my mind, they were like, oh, look at this idiot.
Dude, I was, I get you, man. But that was like where I'm like, no, this is going to work. And I remember I was like, oh my gosh, I'm good at something. And I went from beginning, cause I didn't start till I was in sixth grade. And I went from beginning to advanced band in like the span of like a couple months. I remember there was some resentment.
Right.
But I was like, I found, it was like when you find your thing.
Yeah.
And, oh.
I thought that was going to be it, but it just, once that incident happened, I was out. I was not going back.
I researched Canadian bacon for hours. It is a controversial topic.
Matthew in the chat's been looking up Canadian bacon. You'll have to enlighten us at a later date here.
All right,
we gotta move along. We're still in the letters here.
All right, Andres writes, "Hey guys, first off, I don't think the artwork Brendo gave me credit for. I don't think I did the artwork.
Oh, okay,
which was the
you were
cowboy
talking about
the
last
one.
Episode, right?
That and I was that is correct.
Oh, okay.
I got confused. So that was actually done by the Wonder Brothers, and you can actually they sell prints and stuff. They're like professional artists." But Andres did do stuff. So you know the bagged and boarded one that it used to be my profile picture?
Yeah.
So there was my picture and Matt's picture, but it was like, he like made it look like it was hand drawn and like a marquee poster.
Okay.
He did that.
That's it. Okay. So you weren't wrong that he did stuff, you just got confused.
I knew he did like one of the first ones, all right. And that was, all right. So I apologize to the Wonder Brothers because they're really cool. And so he says, I don't remember doing that particular one. Be the first time I forgot about something I did, though. But you were correct.
You got it straightened out, hopefully.
And he said, Secondly, sorry I had to leave early. My brother and his girl were starving, and the place in front had apparently closed. Yeah, the pizza place closed.
They're going to want to stay open later now.
The 3:30 closure, they had to double back to the – so, yeah, it took us
– yeah, we almost – because so Andres and his brother and girlfriend and friend, I think, the other guy – they came up and a bus, I guess, went off the road and it was a big thing. So on their way up to our live thing,
25 people got hurt.
And so we were worried for a while they weren't going to be able to make it up. And
his brother actually tweeted and I didn't get a notification.
Oh, okay.
But he had tweeted like, hey, we're going to be there at this 5:10 is our ETA.
Okay. So it worked out okay, but,
reach out.
And don't worry. I mean, I knew they had to take off. You guys came all the way up to Big Bear. You did the whole thing. Like, don't stress about that. Yeah.
He says, I ain't gonna lie. We're more of a in the back kind of people, and the front row is a little too close for me.
And I was saying before the show, I feel bad. Like, I put you
in a spotlight.
I do that, you know, but I was excited you guys were there. So, you know. I hope I didn't like make you too uncomfortable, but we were really, really excited you guys came. Thank you so much for coming up all the way to Big Bear to do that stuff.
Pea meal bacon sandwiches are often considered a signature dish of Toronto's St. Lawrence Market. Pea meal? Right. I don't know if I could eat something that's called pea meal.
Pea like the vegetable.
I don't like peas.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
Meal made from peas?
Yeah.
So it's like pea mush? Ew.
I don't know. All right, but we're in the middle of a letter here.
All right.
He He said it was too close for him.
But now I have an excuse to go to Comic-Con Palm Springs so I can get a whole live show in.
Yes, that's good. Well, I promise if you come to Comic-Con Palm Springs and you're there, I won't intentionally embarrass you. I won't put you on the spot there. You're still welcome to ask questions. I just like that. I like getting the crowd involved. But I know not everybody wants that.
All right. And he says, as far as the escape room goes, we are talking about doing another one in the future.
He said it was a lot of fun. You missed that part.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. We were talking about doing another one in the future. And I can muster up the courage to drive up that hill again. Really, I don't know how people do that drive regularly. Right?
Okay.
It's crazy.
So I should have told you this before, and I'll tell this to Andres if you do come up again. You guys both came up the front way, which is where Google will send you, and that is the most... I don't drive that way, ever. You got to go the back way.
What is the back
way? It comes right out here out of... I don't know why Google sends you that way, because the back way comes here out of Mentone.
That's what I... Going on the way... That's what I did.
No, you said you came up the 330, I thought.
Well, on the way home, I went the way to Mentone.
Okay, well, that's way better.
Like, I don't like that anyway.
No, no. It's got a quarter of the amount of curves. It's much more flat. It really is. That's a huge, huge, huge difference. I never go the front way. So next time, if you're going to go up, get in touch with me beforehand. I'll get you the directions to go the way that the locals drive. Because the locals don't go that way unless you live way out on that end of town. So anyway, that being said, I'm so glad you guys came up. I'm so glad it was fun. And he says he'll come up and check out the next room.
Thanks for the invite and the experience.
David in the chat points out the front way is slightly shorter mileage. Yes, but it's way more curvy. And there's always more traffic incidents, and you've got everybody coming up that way, so it's always going to be slower because you're stuck behind slow cars. So I never go that way. That's my point.
You know, it's not slow as DreamHost web hosting and Stitcher and all that stuff.
That's true.
But we already plugged
Stitcher. We did that last time, yeah. Amazon Prime.
But DreamHost, you can save $50 off your hosting if you go to RadioBrendo.com and click the DreamHost link.
Yes.
Save $50 off your order.
It's a great deal. Amazon this week.
Amazon. We got some stuff.
We already talked about how to do it last time, but click to the website.
Go to RadioBrendo. Click the Amazon. You also got your Amazon Prime free trial if you haven't done it.
You got the best laugh of the night out of that for whatever reason.
Yeah.
On our Tuesday's episode there.
You're welcome, everybody. But people got a lot of good stuff.
That's true. What did people buy this week?
On Amazon, they got a Dabung. Dabung?
Dabung.
Men's formal necktie, solid colors, finest quality ties, black.
Better than Badung.
Black tie. Men's vintage casual solid waffle knit woven square and necktie. It's like 8 million words.
Yes, for a tie.
Okay. There's Van Gotti zippered sport case covered gym running with removable strap armband with card and key slot for HTC One Max M9 M8 M7 BlackBerry Z10 Black.
It cut off. I think it keeps going in the description on the white site, actually.
Oh, my gosh. I think that's like an armband for a phone.
But I think it's just the cover for it, though.
It's the armband. It's a case with removable strap armband. It's for running.
Okay.
You strap it to your arm. I had one of those.
I love these descriptions.
So you can find their stuff.
Yeah.
Philips something something flexible ear hook headphones. So somebody's running.
Someone's doing some exercise. That's good.
Exercise. We got 8-inch Damo vacuum suction cup for granite and glass lifting.
What?
Oh, it's for like you saw so you like. It's like the thing you like pop it on there. And then
whoa,
you lift
that's
up.
Like if you're like breaking into a place and you like climb up the windows on the outside of a skyscraper.
So
that's
you
what
can
that
lift
is.
Up the. Pane of glass.
But that's how they always do it in the movies. Yes. They use that and they climb up the side of the building.
Yeah.
And then they use the glass cutter to go around the outside and lift out the circle.
That's a
and
totally
they climb in.
Thing.
I mean, that's right out of the movies. Is someone planning on breaking into a skyscraper?
Maybe.
Please tell me if that's true. Like, you can be anonymous
cat
and tell
burglar.
Us you're doing it. Do we have a cat burglar audience?
Maybe.
What if we like... What if we like have a strong attraction for cat burglars for some reason? Why?
Well,
I don't know. What about our show is appealing to them?
Smooth voices.
Yeah, it's got to be it. They listen to us while they're cracking safes. All right.
All right. We got last but not least, Mega Bloks Hello Kitty Busy Bumper Cars Building Kit.
So someone really likes Hello Kitty.
More Mega Bloks.
Audrey really likes Hello Kitty too.
You know what else I like? I like Mountain Room Escapes. If you go to mountainroomescapes.com, use the code RadioBrendoMan, you get $5 off each ticket and a special exclusive gift at the game.
That's right. Got this cool key when you went up there. Look at that.
You know what else I got?
What'd you get?
I got live shows coming up at Comic-Con Palm Springs.
That's right. August 26th, 28th.
.com. Mark it on your calendar.
Do it.
All right. So we already talked about Big Bear Day.
Well, the only thing I wanted to add is that we didn't talk about visiting the floating bathroom on the lake.
We didn't actually visit it.
We went in circles around it for a while. We went
around it multiple times.
But that was the kids' most exciting part was that we went and saw a floating bathroom on the lake.
As soon as your dad talked about the floating bathroom, that's all
they're like, can we go on a boat and see the float? We gotta see the floating bathroom. And then my dad tried to dock to it, but he just kept driving around it in circles for a while. And then he's like, I think we're gonna just keep going now.
Room escape drama.
Yeah, okay, so this is separate. Well, we already talked about this live show, but that was really cool, and I'm super stoked. And we hadn't talked about it on the show, because we did this afterwards, but we did record our live Brennoman All-Stars songs. We'll be posting the video for at least one of them.
Nerve-wracking.
And audio for the rest.
And I made Phil's mom cry.
My mom was very emotional. I think she liked it. I think it went well, though. I mean, you know, considering what it is that we do, we had two acoustic songs, and then I did a surprise for you, and we did some Nintendo DS stuff as well.
Yeah.
So we'll post the audio from some of them and the video from at least one to do our Kickstarter backer stuff. So, but it'll be open. Everyone can see this. This was not just Kickstarter exclusive. So you guys can all check it out. The drama was not from my brothers. This is from the other one. And I'm not going to go into
it.
Because I teased it last time, but I'll tell you what. For the sake of time tonight.
No, dude, it's fine. We're fine.
I'll go briefly into it. So we were supposed to go to a room escape on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Which is because we're obsessed with it. So we're going to go Saturday night and then go up to Big Bear and do another one on Sunday.
Oh, my gosh.
And on, like, Thursday, I think, Janelle, like, looked at the confirmation thing to kind of get the details, starting to plan for it. And she realized it was booked on the wrong day. It was booked for Sunday, which obviously we couldn't do. And we're like, what happened? She went and she talked to my mom because she and my mom booked it together. They remember very clearly, you know, checking the date, writing it down, whatever. So we went and looked on their website, and all the room escapes have the same kind of booking software, right? I can't remember what it's called, but like Matthew has it on his. All of them have the same thing, you know, set up for room escapes. And whenever you book like an airline or whatever, the little calendar pops up and you can pick what your day is, right? What's the first day and the last day of those calendars typically?
I don't know. It usually changes.
No, it always goes Saturday to Sunday. Or no, sorry, Sunday to Saturday.
Not all of them.
Like on a calendar. When you look at a calendar, North American calendar, it goes Sunday to Saturday.
Not all the time.
All of them. You check any single one of them. It's Sunday to Saturday. I went and looked at every single one we've booked. They're all the same. This guy's goes Monday to Sunday.
Okay.
So, they had clicked on the end of that week, then thinking it was Saturday, and clicked on the wrong one. So anyway, we had a book for the wrong day. Which is, you know, I mean, it's a bummer, but that's no problem because we looked, and they have open days on Saturday. Or open slots that we could still do. Like, the time we wanted to go was still open. So, we call them up. We got a voicemail. We left the voicemail and explained, like, hey, we'd like to switch from Saturday to Sunday. We see you have an open time slot, so... You know, give us a call and let us know, like, how it could go. And...
Sunday to Saturday.
I said it wrong now, but we said it right then. Anyway, sure? We wanted to switch. Janelle's the one that said it. I didn't do it. She called this. She called a couple times. We sent emails. Then we started kind of getting concerned because we didn't hear from them. And we look on, like, their social media, and they haven't updated their social media since, like last April. So it's just all dead, and we're like, wait. And we look, and there's, like... We looked at the reviews on Yelp, and it's all horrible reviews about how they have bad customer service and no communication. We started calling and calling, like just every like 10 minutes we would call throughout day and night for days, and no one ever answered the phone. We left a few messages, but we just kept calling like every once in a while. And so finally, like Saturday afternoon comes, and we're like, what do we do? Like today's the day my parents were coming, you know, coming down, because it's out in LA. They were planning on driving out there. We're going to drive out there. And we're like, what are we going to do? So Janelle called up Groupon, and because we got a deal through Groupon, booked it through them, and she told them the situation. They said, oh, they're in breach of contract. We'll just refund your money right now. And we're like, okay. So they did that. And then, though, we realized that we had actually had to pay extra because my mom added a person onto the room, and they had this whole scandalous thing where you had to pay extra for booking on Saturday, but that wasn't in their fine print that added it later. So anyway, we go to PayPal and just report, you know, like we didn't get the services. Because the guy didn't respond. Again, this is to multiple emails, Facebook messages, phone calls, you name it. So once we do the report with PayPal, the next day, he responds to the report and says, no, we have a no cancellation policy. This is ridiculous. You're committing fraud, blah, 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 blah. So it took that long for him to get back to us. And so then we've had this big old exchange. He claims that we never tried to get in contact with him. And finally, after like I wrote all these things, the last thing he wrote was, well, we only got 2 phone calls from you, and that's ridiculous. Like, you said you called us a bunch. And then I wrote, wait, before you said we didn't call you at all, now you're admitting we called you and you did nothing. And then he hasn't written back yet. And now it's like escalated to PayPal for them to deal with.
Oh my god.
The greatest part though is that Groupon removed them. If you search them, it still shows like the listing, but it says this is no longer available through Groupon. So it can't be just us that has complained. They have like horrible reviews on Yelp. I'm sure they've had other people complain about it. So I'm hoping like we were like the last straw. But man, this is what I was saying there. If you like have a deal, like if you have a Groupon deal, don't punish people for using it. That's supposed to bring you business.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Last thing. Audrey the playwright.
Yes, this is one last little cool bit of news. We got an email from Audrey's teacher tonight. And I was freaking out because I opened it on my phone, but their like messaging service doesn't like read it all the way. So we had to run and get the computer. But it turns out that like earlier this year, there's this this group that they come in and does a program at the end of the school year, and they have kids submit like short stories to them, and they pick one from the school to do that they will like write a script up and perform it live at the end of the school year for this like school assembly. And they picked Audrey's story, and they're going to be performing Audrey's story.
Whoa.
Yeah. So Audrey got a thing into production faster than we did.
What's her story?
It's called like the Very Special Apple or something. She kind of like gave us a summary, but she wrote it in the middle of the year, so she couldn't remember like all the details of it. But it's about like this apple that doesn't want to be what it is anymore, so it goes to its grandma and they try to find out a new identity for it or something. And I don't know, like she didn't show it to us. She wrote it and submitted it straight to them. So Audrey's got a play in production.
That's amazing.
And they're going to be doing it, I think, like in the next couple of weeks.
Your daughter's a playwright.
Yeah.
She did it.
She did it.
7 years old.
She already wrote. And she was telling me, she's like, well, I've been wanting people to do the things I've been writing, so I'm glad this worked out. I'm like, you don't even know. Like, this doesn't just happen. Like, I don't know if they pick multiple ones. She's definitely the only one in her class, but there may be a few others they pick from the school. I don't know. But her teacher was, like, making a really big deal. Like, this is really cool. I didn't know they were going to pick someone from my class or something. So, pretty stoked.
Runs in the blood.
I guess. I hope. Maybe I can inherit some of it back up, you know? So that's Audrey. What do you got?
A full fruit basket, only one survives. Is that the story?
That's the story, yeah. Story of a fruit.
I have a... We're going to call this episode, because I teased it.
Right.
And call this episode Brendo's Choice.
Yes.
So I guess I got to tell you.
It's Meryl free, though, right?
Yeah, it involves Meryl Streep.
Well, Sophie's Choice.
Didn't running have away Meryl? With Meryl Streep.
Please, no. Then the answer's no. That's the choice.
Found out that Gail's not actually my mom. It's Meryl Streep.
Meryl.
So I have to decide.
That's why you're Gail such a terrible actor. All right.
Hello.
Oh, my name is Meryl.
All right.
Oh, that new one she's in looks really good.
Oh.
Where she's like the singer.
Yes, I know.
Because she's supposed to be terrible. That's why it works.
So.
Okay. Brendo's Choice.
Brendo's Choice. So I'm looking online because I already had to like, I had to go to find out when Comic-Con was because I had to request the days off from work. And then I'm on the website and I look and I'm like, oh, when's WonderCon next year? And I look and it's way earlier than usually is.
It's not Easter?
April 2nd. It's April 1st and 2nd, which I think that might be Easter this year.
Oh, I guess it could. It bounces around, huh?
So, and then I'm like, wait, that sounds familiar.
Uh-oh.
Look up, go on WWE.com.
Oh.
WrestleMania 33 in Orlando is April 2nd.
Well, what if we get panels? You're going to turn. What if?
Hey, you can do those panels without me.
Well, here's what I'm saying. Bro. What if you did? We're playing hypothetical here. What if you chose to go to WrestleMania and you didn't do it? And then they look and see, well, he didn't do this panel. And the next year, they decide not to renew your professional badge because you weren't there and you don't get to go to Comic-Con. And they don't give me a pro guest.
The panels aren't related to our professional
badge. But they punish you for it.
Why wouldn't they? Why would they punish me for it?
What if they did?
I'm not.
What if that was the thing? How would that affect your choice?
You're on the panel.
But
that's not going to happen.
What if it did?
Well, of course, if that did, but it's not going to happen.
Now there's a little seed of doubt.
No, there is not.
There's no seed of doubt?
No seed of doubt.
What if they just decide not to give us the panel anymore?
Why would they do that?
I don't know. What if they did? Like, this guy's not committed.
They could do that anyways.
This guy's not committed. They check your social media feed, then know you're going there.
They're not doing any of that.
All right, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking I'm going to WrestleMania 33.
You're
going to
skip WonderCon. You're not going to do the panels.
You can do them.
Man. So it's not even a choice. You've pre-decided.
I don't know, but I really want to go. Because I want to go to Harry Potter Land.
You can do that anytime. You don't have to go to WrestleMania for that.
Well, if I can do them both, then I have to go to WrestleMania, Harry Potter, and WrestleMania.
Yeah, but you're not going to have time to enjoy Harry Potter because you're going to want to do all your wrestle stuff.
Dude, I have that whole week off. I will go there. So I'll get there that weekend. I have the wrestle stuff doesn't start until Thursday.
Man. That gives me what day is WrestleMania?
Sunday.
So you could go to WonderCon.
None of
Friday, Saturday, and fly out Saturday night.
Except then I wouldn't be able to go to any of the other wrestling stuff or to Harry Potter Land.
I don't know, man.
Not doing any of those.
David things. Says Orlando's terrible.
I don't care. I've been to Orlando, and I like Orlando.
I do too.
Also, I want to go to Gatorland.
All right.
I've still never been.
What if you're going to be able to fit all this in? It's a lot to do.
Oh, you're talking to the king of fitting stuff in.
Yeah? Is that your new title?
Yes.
All right.
I beat my record of shows.
Yeah, but what going days. To like Harry Potter Land? That's a lot of time.
That is 4 days before. Like again, that stuff doesn't start until the Thursday. I am off Friday, fly Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Why don't you just do all that and then come back for WonderCon?
Then I wouldn't be going to WrestleMania.
Yeah, but you do all the other stuff.
Then it's not, no, I gotta do it all.
So it's not even a choice. You made the choice.
I know!
Look at this.
But I don't know. Alright,
well all I'm saying is, if you have to miss out on San Diego the next year by some fallout from this incident.
What fallout?
I warned you. I don't know. I'm just saying.
You're still gonna do the panel.
What if I have something to do? And I have to bail on it.
So what, now you're giving me a hard time?
I don't know if I do. I'm just saying, what if I did?
Then we're not doing the panel.
And then we lose San Diego.
And that's it. It's over.
Is it worth it?
It's all over. You're the one that's also bailing out now.
Well, I know it's worth... What if it's worth it to me? Is it worth it to you?
It's worth it to me, but I also... It's worth it to me to go to WrestleMania.
All right. So you never go to San Diego again. No more panels.
What? I mean, how does that happen?
I'm just saying. What happens?
That's not going to happen.
All right.
Oh my gosh, what are you doing right now?
I'm just playing devil's advocate. That's what I do.
You're mean.
No, I'm not. You said you want to bail on our panel to go to a wrestling show.
It's the wrestling show.
Still, it's the panel.
We do multiple panels.
For now.
You and Patrick, and then you get a third person.
All right.
Get some other webcomic guy. Get Eddie Angelini.
That's true, but I don't know. What if you go on to WrestleCon?
Yeah, exactly.
Josh likes... No, but we're going to have our podcasting
Josh
panel.
Says, I love how Phil is this crazy about the WebCon panel. He can't use that passion to put up comics in a timely manner.
But I'm talking about our live podcast.
We have so many people that can be on that panel. You don't need me to
do
that
panel.
What
about live radio Brendo Man?
We're not doing that at WonderCon.
What if they offer that?
That's never happening.
But if they did, would you change?
Yes.
Okay. That's good. It's good to have your priorities in check. That's all right.
Maybe.
So you're saying they said live radio Brendo Man.
I can't miss WrestleMania.
And they'd probably get to do it at San Diego if it goes well.
Holy crap.
You would still choose WrestleMania?
No.
That's why this is Brendo's choice. It's got to be challenging.
Not what's happening.
All right. But I'm just saying, if it does come up.
How's it going to come up?
They're going to call us.
Oh, yeah.
Brendo?
I'm waiting for that call.
You want to do the live show at San Diego?
We're running late.
All right, we should get going on there. That's Brendo's choice. Time. All right.
I had to do Brendo's choice. We were going to skip everything else.
We got to close with Marmaduke, right?
That's what I'm saying. Okay. We're going to skip all this.
We'll talk about all the other stuff later. Pleep ploop will come another time.
We've talked about it at least twice.
This is an ongoing thing now. I will always be saying pleepy ploop.
I'm aware of that. You know what it is time for. It's time. It's Marmaduke time.
Yes.
What do we got?
All right. So this week in Marmaduke, let's see. Last week, oh yeah, we they were he was a
flying coat Marmaduke. Rack. Oh no, coat rack Marmaduke.
Well, he was he flew and he was a coat rack.
Yeah,
it was a crazy week. So this week, it's snowy outside. There's a lot of snow in the house. Marmaduke is barking angrily at into the house.
Why is he barking at the house?
He's barking angrily into it, and then it triggers a little avalanche, and all the snow off the roof, whoomp, down onto his head. And then the dad, Phil, opens the door, and there's Marmaduke. It looks like a Marmaduke snow dog. And he says, well, I'll be. And he kind of like shuffles into the house covered in snow. Dottie, come look at this. Come take a look at this. The wife's name is Dottie. I think that's the first time we've heard that.
Yeah, Dottie.
Dottie there.
Phil and Dottie.
So he calls out, Dottie, come take a look at this.
Listen, Dottie, I'm a loner. I'm a loner, Dottie.
I'm a loner. I'm a rebel. So then Marmaduke shake, 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 and the snow flies off of him. And now Phil's covered in snow like a snowman. Dottie's looking a little perturbed there, and she says, you wanted to show me something? And Marmaduke's looking pretty pleased with himself.
Okay, that's not even a joke.
Well, because see, Marmaduke was covered in snow. Now he is.
Why? So that's your dog is like covered in snow, probably freezing to death, and your response is, well, hey, everybody, yeah. Let's laugh.
So let's look here. Here's where the dog abuse is. The dog's outside in freezing cold weather, barking angrily because they left him outside. He's dying out there. Yeah. They left him to die in the snow.
They have Phil finally had enough.
He's done. He's done. Marmaduke's like, I'm going to die out here. And the only reason he opened it is because it's like
what is
snow.
He doing outside in the snow?
He's going to die. That's where it is.
So he's like begging, and then Phil hears the womb thinking
that
maybe it's finished.
Yeah.
And then he's like, all right, Dottie, come look at this. Come look.
It's done. He's dead, finally. The deed is done. And then, Marmaduke's all
I
proud.
Have murdered my ensouled father.
And now Dottie's like, you wanted to show me something? Because she thought it was taken care of. You couldn't even get this one job done. That's what she's saying.
Holy crap.
The family's trying to murder Marmaduke.
Yeah, and so he's like, I'm one step ahead of you guys.
But they know they can't, like attack him because he's too powerful. But if they lock him out and let him freeze to death, they think they can get to him. But not that.
Diabolical.
Man, this is nuts.
Yeah, what is he doing outside?
Why is he locked out there? He's clearly angry. He knows that they're trying to kill him.
And he has a force breath that he's pushing.
Yeah, like he moves it. Like he willed it to be.
Yeah. He has force powers.
Marmaduke is nuts. So this is a Marmaduke has powers, and they're trying to kill him.
Revenge on Phil.
Marmaduke and his revenge. And
not even revenge, just like self-defense.
Yeah. Man. Brad Anderson.
But it seems now like Phil is actively trying to murder Marmaduke.
He's excited.
First he's got him chained up.
When he says, well, I'll be, he's like, we did it.
Yeah.
We did it. We killed Marmaduke.
And we found out the mom's name is Dottie.
And we know now. We're 95 pages in. That's the first time they gave her a name.
Phil and Dottie.
I don't think this passes the Bechdel test.
Nope.
All right. That's Marmaduke for the week. That's our show for the week.
That is our show for the week.
Yeah.
We're running pretty late, and it's time for my bedtime. Oh, that's the one other thing I was going to talk about.
Okay.
You want to know why? So I got home at like 10.
Right.
I'm like, I need to go to bed. And then I was like, oh crap. WWE Extreme Rules was tonight and I don't want to get it spoiled.
So I watched
the whole, I might have fast forwarded a couple points, but I watched the whole thing.
So that's why the extra tire today.
Yeah. I didn't go to bed till like 1.
Man. See, me on the other hand, we got down, you know, about 10, a little after 10 because we had to go pick up the kids. And we got everyone into bed, and I'm like, I'm going to watch a movie just to kind of debrief. So I turn on, like, the Wii U and get, like, Hulu loaded up and promptly fell asleep with, like, the Hulu menu on in my chair. Woke up at, like, 3 in the morning, and it was sitting on the TV on the Hulu menu. So I didn't get very far.
All right. Well, should we go to RadioBrendo.com, go to BenviewNetwork.com, check out all the shows there, and check out all the other stuff.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening, of course.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. And don't forget to check out mountainroomescapes.com if you're in the Big Bear area.
Yeah.
And thank you, Matthew, for providing, and your mom.
That's right.
For providing a great weekend.
Yeah. Cool venue and opportunity to do a live show. It was very, very cool.
So that's going to do it. And for Radio Brendo Man, I'm Brendan Creasy.
And I'm Phil Vecchio.
Have a good one, everybody.
swings open.
Podcast is a part of the Benview Network.
You can find this and other podcasts like it at BenviewNetwork.com.
Feeling peckish this midnight? Sate your appetite for terror and reserve your ears for a feast of the sound. The Midnight Marinara podcast is here for you, intrepid listeners. We sample only the finest and sinister stories and, coating them with our own unique spooky sauce, present them to you as eerie audio dramas. Tune in twice monthly as Midnight Marinara sends shivers of fear and spasms of laughter through you. Bon appetit!